Well, it's good to meet together to sing a little bit. June, I appreciate you giving us a little backstory to some of the songs and to the authors of them. It's kind of good to know some of those stories and kind of the events that God used to inspire them and their creativity to come up with a hymn that we still sing, and how God works in the highs and the very lows of life. The very lows. In fact, the second song that we sang, Beulah Land. Mm-hmm. Y'all know what Beulah means?
Married.
That's right. It means married, and the song is about the. It's in Isaiah 6:62. And about the land not being desolate anymore, but the land being married and fruitful, having a master. But you could tune in next Sunday morning, because there's going to be a connection between Beulah and anyway. So I'll see if I can bring a connection in that, because there is a connection to the first commandment with Beulah and the word where that comes from. So tune in next Sunday morning. I'll hopefully I can remember to put that in. But you had that song, and I said, "Oh, you gave me an idea for next Sunday morning." So we're gonna. But anyway, tonight we're gonna continue on our trek through the Baptist Faith and Message. We've been in section 7 on baptism and the Lord's Supper, kind of parked out here on the issue of baptism. Actually, tonight is part 4 in baptism. It's part 4 and no more. So hopefully this will be the last one, though baptism is a tremendous subject. But tonight we're going to talk a little bit about the symbolism of baptism. The symbolism of baptism. And we'll begin with a word of prayer, and then we will kick it off. And again, it's always remember it's open for discussion if y'all want to park and talk a little bit about some of this. Please don't be shy about wanting to stop and chat. Father, we thank you again for this wonderful day that you have made, a day of rest, to where we can come and be reminded that we are to rest in the work of your Son, that he worked for us because we could not work for ourselves. We thank you for the institution of the church that you loved, shed your blood for, that you've called to yourself to be your bride. And Lord, we thank you for the ordinances of the church and the one in baptism that we're going to talk about tonight. Might it be fruitful for us in our thoughts and in our growth in our faith. In Christ's name, amen. Well, by way of quick review where we've been the last 3 weeks talking about baptism, we spent some time talking about how we baptize, the different modes of baptism. Remember, there's three main modes that Christendom practices, sprinkling, pouring, or effusion. And early Baptists did practice pouring for a while, and then the third one is immersion. And which of the three do we use here as Baptists? Which why do we baptize? Huh? Immersion. Yeah, we're Dunkin' Donuts Baptists. We put them all the way down as the way we do it. And there is a formula that we use that comes from the Scripture. And in fact, did I bring my copy of the Baptist Faith and Message? I think I did. But anyway, where we do baptize in the triune name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. Let me get one of those, because we might look at. But the formula that we use is that we baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit from the Great Commission, where Jesus tells us how to do that. And so that's how we baptize. We also discussed who do we baptize? Kind of comes down to, do we baptize believers or do we baptize unbelievers? I mean, that's whether you baptize babies or, and all that. But it kind of just comes, do you baptize believers or do you baptize unbelievers, or really exclusively believers? As Baptists, we do not believe in an unbeliever's baptism. Okay, I mean, regardless of the age of the unbeliever, we don't believe in an unbeliever's baptism. In fact, if a person was baptized as an unbeliever, we would encourage them to have a New Testament scriptural baptism, a baptism of believers. That's who we baptize. And also a quick correction from last week. We kind of got off on kind of a rabbit trail on baptism of the dead, this one kind of lone verse in the scripture, and I talked about what it could be in different practices in church history, and I mentioned clinical baptism. And as I went back and thought about it, I think I gave the wrong definition to clinical baptism. There was a practice in the early church of clinical baptism, which was putting off one's baptism until close to when they were going to die. And that is because of what baptism meant and being washed from our sins and having a sinless life. Some people didn't want to be baptized until right before death, and so they would have a clinical baptism. And I think I might have misrepresented that last time as just being baptism of those sick and dying. But anyway, that's just kind of a sidebar, but by way of a little correction there. But anyway, so we've talked about how to baptize, who do we baptize. So now, what does baptism mean? You know, this kind of the nitty-gritty on what does baptism mean? Why do we do it? Why do we practice it? What are we trying to convey in it? And different denominations, different sects within Christendom do have different views on this. Some denominations hold to what is called a baptismal regeneration. We've talked about regeneration in the new birth, and some churches teach that when a person is baptized, that's when they're born again. They would go to John chapter 3, where Jesus says you got to be born of water and of spirit, and that there is a connection between being baptized in water and being baptized by the Spirit, and that somehow baptism, water baptism done through the church, imparts saving grace. Whether it's to the infant, it takes away their original sin, or whatever. I think Lutherans believe this. There are different views, but they believe that water baptism imparts saving grace in some way. It is essential to salvation in the sense that baptism does save in that sense. As Southern Baptists, we do not believe this. We don't believe that baptism saves. But we do believe that baptism is a picture of salvation. It doesn't convey grace, but it is a picture of grace. It is a picture. And there are two approved pictures that we have in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are two dramas that are acted out for people to see within our faith. Now, one thing about our most holy faith that God has given, our most holy faith is mainly about words and hearing. In fact, when God gave the Ten Commandments, he reminded them, he says, remember on the mountain, you didn't see any form, you didn't see me, but you just only heard my voice. And so we give most of our attention to words and to hearing, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. But there are two approved sights or things to be seen in our faith, and that is the two ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. And these ordinances dramatically present the gospel in visible form. It is acted out before us in a way that when we see these ordinances, we should get a glimpse of the gospel in what is visibly pictured before us. And baptism is a drama. It is a dramatic presentation of the gospel. In fact, I don't know if any of you like to play games. Sometimes we'll play games as a family. And every now and again, we'll play Pictionary. You ever play Pictionary? You love Pictionary. And so now, are you very good at Pictionary?
No.
No, yeah, well, Pictionary, you get a clue, and so you're supposed to draw this picture, and other people are supposed to guess what you're drawing. Well, baptism is a picture that's being drawn and visibly displayed before the people watching, and it should clearly present what it's picturing. It is spiritual Pictionary. Baptism is a picture of the gospel. And so we think about the symbolism of baptism. As Baptists, we believe that baptism doesn't save, but it's a picture of the gospel. It symbolizes the gospel. And so what is the picture that baptism is supposed to portray? Well, what's the picture it's supposed to show when it's drawn up for everybody to see? Well, it's supposed to show a death, a burial, a resurrection, and an identification of the one being baptized. Okay. It's supposed to show this. It dramatically presents this. A death, a burial, a resurrection, and an identification of the person being baptized. And so a true New Testament baptism should picture these essential elements. It's like Pictionary. It should draw a clear picture for everybody to see of death, of burial, of resurrection, and there is an identification of that person with a death, a burial, and a resurrection. Now, first of all, so let's think about this identification. Baptism is an identification. It's an association with something. Somebody read Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, a tremendous verse. Galatians 3:27. I don't know if any of your motorheads are here, but I think 327 was a good engine. Wasn't that a good Chevy engine, right, Doug? Yeah, that's a good. So Galatians 3:27, it's a good one on baptism. You want to get revved up on baptism. Sorry, Ray, 327 is not a Ford. You have to go to 429 or something. But 327, somebody read Galatians 3:27.
For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ.
Okay. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, those who were baptized, have clothed yourselves with Christ. So a person that is being baptized, the picture that is supposed to be shown and drawn before the people observing, is that that person is being baptized into Christ Jesus. They are placed in association with Christ. That person is now associated and identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, they are so identified with Christ that they now carry his name. You know, that there's a name change with baptism. The person is now known as a Christian. We carry Christ's name. It's almost like in a wedding ceremony. There's a name change. There's a ring exchange, and there's an identification of the bride with the bridegroom, and there's an identifying marker on the bride. Well, all of us as the bride of Christ, we now have a new name and a new identification with our husband. We carry his name and we carry his mark on us. A baptism that identifies us with being a Christian. And you know, just like a marriage ceremony, it's not a private done thing just all by themselves before two people and nobody else sees. A true New Testament baptism is a public ceremony. You're identifying before people my association with Christ. It's not a private thing, it's a public thing. Just like when my wife and I got married, we let everybody know. You know, whether it's a small crowd or a big crowd, it's you're letting other people know I am identifying with this person. And so baptism is an identification with Christ. I am being baptized into him. I am associated with him now. In fact, the verse goes on to say that if you've been baptized into Christ, you're clothed with Christ. We even have a different dress, you know. I mean, in a way, I'm clothed with Christ. You know, sometimes in our, old baptisms, there's even a baptismal robe or something. You know, I mean, even the picture itself, when a person is baptized, I am being clothed with Jesus Christ. I am being associated and identified, and I am being shrouded with Him. It's kind of like sometimes if you go and you get another, you get a job, and there might be a uniform with that job or a dress code, and you have to dress a certain way that when I have that uniform and that tag on or whatever, I am identified with this company or who my boss is. That's what baptism is. I am identifying with Christ. I am baptized into Christ. I am clothed with Christ, and I am wearing His uniform. As He was baptized, so I am baptized. There is an identification with baptism, and so that should be pictured. When a baptism happens, the Pictionary is drawn up there. That should be evident. And the picture that should be evident is that person being identified with Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Now, those three elements are essential elements of the gospel. I mean, that summarizes the gospel. So someone look up 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4. Here we see what is of first importance when it comes to the gospel. And there's three elements that can't be left out that are just bare bones minimum of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. Somebody want to read that one?
For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures.
Okay. As of first importance. Of first importance, He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. So Christ's death, burial, and resurrection are essential elements to the gospel. And a baptism is to picture the gospel, which is Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. In fact, both of the ordinances, both of the dramatic presentations in church picture the gospel. It's just to display this. And so baptism is to show Christ's death. Let's look to Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 6. Beginning in verse number 3, Bob brought up this passage last week, and just an essential passage in thinking about baptism. But look at Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse number 3, and we'll see how baptism identifies us with the gospel and Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Romans 6 and verse number 3, and it begins with this. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, okay, we're baptized into Christ, we're identified with Christ, have been baptized into His death? Okay. Baptism is to show and to picture and to symbolize the death of Christ. And it identifies that person that his faith is in the death of Christ. You are baptized into Christ, and we are baptized into His death. That's what baptism symbolizes. And beyond that, not just His death, but what does the next verse say? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death. And so, not only does baptism picture Christ's death, it symbolizes and it shows His burial. It shows a burial, the burial of the body, put into the ground. And baptism is to show the burial of Christ. It shows the death of Christ, and it shows the burial of Christ. That is what it is to picture, the Pictionary that's being drawn up there. But did Christ just die and was buried? Is that the essence of the gospel? No. Yeah, there's another essential part of the gospel, which is the resurrection, which the next part of the verse says. He says, we've been buried with Him through baptism, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. The baptism is to show and to symbolize Christ's death, Christ's burial, and Christ's resurrection. It's to show this. It's to picture this. It is to symbolize this. In fact, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, we see the same thing reiterated. It says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. You know, oftentimes when we're, you know, baptized, we say, you know, buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. Because what is trying to be conveyed in this picture, in this symbol, is Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Peter tells us the same thing in 1 Peter 3 and verse number 21. He says, baptism saves you, not the removal of filth from the body, not water baptism, but a testimony of the good conscience through the resurrection of Christ. That's the baptism that saves us, being identified with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And so baptism is to be a picture of identifying with Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. But it's more than that. It's not just saying that Christ died, was buried, and was raised. Baptism is a picture of the professed believer's death, burial, and resurrection. What the person is saying when they are being baptized is, I am identifying myself with Christ, and my faith is in his death, burial, and resurrection. And that is my death, burial, and resurrection. That I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. But the life that I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, when a person is being baptized, they're saying, I believe that Jesus died for sins, for my sins. And I, through his death, am dying to my sins. If you're still in Romans 6, look at Romans 6 and verse number 2. Right before he talks about being buried with him in baptism. Romans 6, let me just begin in verse number 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? When a person comes to faith, do we go on living in sin because we're saved by grace? He says, may it never be. How shall we who died to sin live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? You see, what baptism is showing is not just I am believing that Christ died for my sins, but I too am being united with Christ's death for sin in me dying to my sin. Look at verse 6 and 7 of that same passage. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. You see, baptism is showing that the person being baptized, I'm believing and identifying with Christ's death for sin, and now I am dying to my sin. I'm crucified with Christ, and the old self is now being buried. The old man is done away with. There is a baptism of repentance. I am leaving the old life, and I am being raised from the dead, a life of death and sin, to walk in a new way of life, just as Christ was raised from the dead. Like Romans 6, 8 says, now if we have died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. You see, this is the picture of baptism. I am identifying myself with Christ. I am being clothed with Christ. I am being engrafted into him, associated with what his death, burial, and resurrection, that is the gospel. And I am saying that I too am dying to my sin through his death. My old life is being done away with and buried. And I am raised from the dead to walk in newness of life. This is what is to be pictured in a baptism. You see, a baptized believer identifies with and enters into death, burial, and resurrection. That's the picture that's supposed to be drawn when the drama of baptism takes place. That's the truth that is to be conveyed. Now, which mode of baptism best pictures the essential elements of the gospel of death, burial, and resurrection? Does sprinkling an unbeliever, does it show this? Does pouring on a believer or an unbeliever, is that a good picture? You know, you and I are playing Pictionary, and I'm trying to show you the death, burial, and resurrection. Does that convey that? Would you guess the gospel from those modes of baptism? Or is a baptism by immersion where the person is up and then they're down and then they're back up and they're walk? I mean, is that the best picture? You see, baptism is a symbol. Baptism is a drama. Baptism is a sign. It doesn't save, but it is a sign that points to salvation. And as Baptist, or, you know, I would say the best signage is the one with the clearest message. Okay? The best signage is the sign with the clearest message. You know, if you're going to win Pictionary, you got to draw a good picture so that you can guess what's being drawn. You know, what is this symbol symbolizing? And maybe to use an illustration of signage, I kind of like this. Have you ever been confused by bad signage? Now, I mean, you know, businesses use signs all the time to direct you their way for what they're selling or whatever, where you're going. But you can be confused, or at least I am often confused by bad signage. I'll have to tell you, I hate driving to Dallas-Fort Worth. I hate driving to Dallas-Fort Worth, especially if there is construction going on the roads in Dallas-Fort Worth. That is because if I'm not for sure where I'm going and I'm looking for the sign and they put up a temporary sign or something and I'm like, where am I going? And, you know, I don't know what exit and all that. And bad signage leads to confusion and often getting lost because I'm not for sure where I'm going because the signage is not clear. Now, if you know where you're going, I remember when, you know, they're doing construction around here. I know my way around. And so they can take the signs down and put up a bad temporary sign. And I still know where I'm going and I can get there. But if you're not familiar with the roads and the signage is bad, it's awful confusing. Or at least I find it confusing. And I'll just say that bad signage is a bummer. Because you're not for sure if you're going the right way. I'm not for sure if I've taken the right exit because the signage is not clear. Now let me just say this, that sprinkling and pouring as modes of baptism, I'm just going to say, are bad signage.
Amen.
Okay, you know, it might get you there, but it's awful confusing. And it is bad signage. Because sprinkling and pouring do not show death, burial, and resurrection. The essential elements of the gospel. And it does not show in a clear picture or symbol a person's identification with death, burial, and resurrection. Now, those modes of baptism, they're bad signage. And if you know where you're going anyway, it might get you there. But I'm still going to say it's bad signage. It's not a clear picture of the gospel. You're not going to get the gospel in a clear way through that signage because it's not a clear message. Unbelievers' baptism is really bad signage.
Amen.
I mean, to baptize unbelievers is terribly bad signage. It's a terrible picture. It really confuses the message, because it sure doesn't show a death to sin, because they're not saved. They haven't died to sin. It doesn't show a burial of the old life, because they're still in the old life. It doesn't show a raised in newness of life, or the a person even be identified with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. I mean, baptism of unbelievers is the worst signage, because it's a total confusion of the gospel. It is terrible symbolism in baptism. And that's why, as Baptists, we would say that immersion of the believer is the best signage. It's the best picture, in some way, okay, you're going to argue over other modes, that's fine. But still, immersion of a believer in baptismal waters is the best picture of the gospel. You're going to get the gospel better in that dramatic presentation of the gospel than some other form. It's the best symbol of what is being symbolized, because again, the essential elements of the gospel are death, burial, and resurrection, and identification with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and my death, burial, and resurrection. And so that's the best picture of the gospel in the way we do the baptism. It's the best sign. If you were, yes, sir.
I observed overseas a triple dunk. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes. In fact, that maybe it was last week. I talked about there was an old, essentially, church rule book, church manual, and where you baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. In cold water, living water, and I think it was three dunks. The name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so there were three dunks. In fact, Old Testament, who was it? And Naaman, how many times was he dunked?
Seven
times. You know, boy, he got down seven times. But yeah, I've heard of that. I've never seen it practiced, but it's an interesting way to do it. So
I've seen Catholic priests do that with babies.
Oh, sprinkle them three times, or
dip, actually.
Oh, dip them down. Yeah. Huh. Did they dip the whole baby, or just the head? Just the head. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and some of the.
Here's a bad boy.
And then they cry. Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Scared to death.
That one's interesting. Yeah, Andrew, any other questions, comments before I move on to something else about baptism being a sign, about baptism, the way we observe baptism and practice it being the best signage, the best picture of what it's supposed to picture. I think you'll get the gospel better. Better that away. But let me kind of add to this just a little bit. And and it does mention this in our Baptist Faith and Message. Let me just read this before I move on. Section 7. It says, baptism, in kind of the middle of the first paragraph, it's the act of obedience symbolizing the believer's faith in a crucified, buried, and risen Savior. The believer's death to sin, burial of the old life, and the resurrection to walk in newness of life in Christ Jesus. And it's a testimony to his faith in the final resurrection of the dead. So you can see that in the way that we summarize it, it's all about death, burial, and resurrection. And what this the symbolism of baptism is to point to. But let me just say this. Baptism is a sign and a symbol. But baptism is not the substance of what it symbolizes. Okay, and I think this is extremely important. Baptism, water baptism, is not the substance of what it symbolizes. Because baptism is a sign, right? I mean, and I think we need good signage. Good signage is important if you're going to convey the message. But signs point to something. Signs are not the something they point to. Okay? A sign points to something, but a sign is not the something that it points to. Now, let me go back to my illustration of, you know, driving and looking at a sign. You're going down the road, and, you know, we've got the kids in the car, and they're hungry, and you want to eat. And boom, you see the Golden Arches, you know. Or, I don't know, do y'all like the Golden Arches here? You seeing a Cracker Barrel sign. I don't know, you know, whatever. You see the sign, and you want to eat, and it tells you what exit to take, and you get off, and you follow the sign, and you go to the sign. Well, nobody pulls into the Golden Arches at McDonald's or the Cracker Barrel at the, you know, whatever that sign is, and then pulls over, and instead of going to the door, they go out to the sign. And they hug the sign. They sit by the sign. They taste the sign. They just have a great time at the sign. Right? You don't do that. The sign is not the something that the sign is signifying. The sign points you to the food that is inside. I see the Golden Arches sign that leads me to go inside to find the nuggets, you know, or whatever. Or the, you know, you see the Cracker Barrel sign, but I don't hang out at the sign. I go in the store and get what the sign tells me about, because the sign is not the substance or the something that the sign points to. And can I say that baptism is important, and it's important to have good signage, but baptism is not the main attraction that we're to hang out at. It's not. It's the sign. You know, it's what the sign points to. And I think many denominations get this wrong. Amen. Because they're all about the sign. You have to come and you got to be baptized and baptized in their way and their sign. And they're all hanging out at the sign and loving the sign. And they never go into the store because they're stuck at the sign. But the sign is not the be-all, end-all. It just points to something. Baptism, water baptism, is not the be-all, end-all. It is to picture and symbolize and to point us into where the gospel is. It's a dramatic presentation, but it's just a sign. It just points to something. It's not the something that it points to. In fact, you know, the Apostle Paul says something that as Baptists we might cringe a little bit about in 1 Corinthians 1:17. He says that Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. You know, people in the Corinthian church, they were all about maybe who baptized them and how they were baptized. And I was baptized by Apollos, and I'm after this guy and Peter, and, you know, and all, you know, this is who we're about. And he said, uh-uh. You know, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you, except maybe this one family, because Christ, he didn't send me to baptize. Well, what do you mean he didn't send you to baptize, Paul? What about the Great Commission? Go into all the world and make disciples and baptize. You know, yes, he did send you, but you see, baptism's the symbol. Baptism is the sign. The signs are important, and signs should be good and right, and we should follow it, but it's still just a sign that points to the gospel. And I think we have to keep it in that respect. It's an important sign, but it's not the something the sign points to. And if we get that wrong, then you're elevating the sign above what it is symbolizing. Does that make sense? You know. Now let me end on this. We still got about 10 minutes, and we want to chat about some things. But I want to talk about true baptism. To end up, because water baptism, the picture, the pictionary, the dramatic presentation of water baptism to show, you know, death, burial, and resurrection, our identification with Christ. But water baptism points to true baptism. And there is only one baptism. I love the verse in Ephesians 4:5. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. with all the fights that us Christians have and denominational divisions over the issue of baptism, the scripture says there's one baptism, only one real true baptism that water baptisms are to point to, because water baptisms aren't the real baptism. It's to picture and to convey what true baptism is. And true baptism is baptism by the Spirit. Okay? So someone read Mark 1 and verse 8, and somebody else read 1 Corinthians 12:13. Mark 1, 8 and 1 Corinthians 12:13.
I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost.
Okay, so here talking about, this is John the Baptist, and John the Baptist, he was told to go baptizing. He was baptizing in water, baptism for repentance. They came out confessing their sins. I'm doing it with water, but now someone's coming after me, and my water baptism is pointing to something. He's going to baptize you not with water, but with the Spirit. Okay, someone read 1 Corinthians 12:13. 1 Corinthians 12:13.
For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink.
Okay. So we have all been baptized by one Spirit into one body. When Jesus baptizes us with His Spirit, He puts us in His body, the body of Christ. And so there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And every true believer has that baptism, regardless of what kind of water baptism they had. It could be sprinkling, it could be pouring, it could be a good sign, it could be a bad sign, whatever. But every true believer has been baptized by the Spirit. Jesus baptizes His people by the Spirit. But Jesus not only baptizes with the Spirit. Somebody look at Luke 3, 16 and 17. And y'all, okay. Because Jesus is the baptizer. Again, baptism is a symbol, it's a picture. John the Baptist came baptizing. He says, I'm doing it with water, but one coming after me. And he's going to have the true baptism, the real baptism that all of these pictures are pointing to. Luke 3, 16 and 17. It's a parallel passage to the one that Daniel just read from Mark. But someone read Luke 3, 16 and 17.
John answered their questions by saying, I baptize you with water, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He is ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, gathering the wheat into his barn, but burning the chaff with never-ending fire.
Okay. The symbolism of baptism. The forerunner of Christ, John the Baptist, is sent, and he's sent with a proclamation to repent, to be baptized. He baptizes with water. It's a picture. It points to Christ. One's coming after me, greater than I. I'm not even worthy to loose his sandals. And he's going to have a baptism, the real baptism. And he will either baptize with the Holy Spirit or with fire. Every true believer is baptized with the Holy Spirit. And let me say this, every unbeliever will be baptized with fire. Jesus is the baptizer. And he will baptize everybody, either with his Spirit, bringing them into his church and to redeeming them, and he immerses them in his Spirit and engrafts them and brings them into his body, or he will baptize people in the lake of fire. For all of eternity, they will be immersed in judgment. And as the picture is, it's like taking the chaff and burning it in unquenchable fire. Jesus is the baptizer. And so you know, when we have a baptism and the symbolism of baptism, it does show mainly salvation, death, burial, resurrection, Christ, and our identification with it. But even there's also a picture of this, that there is a baptism yet to come, a baptism of fire that every unbeliever will go to the lake of fire to be baptized. And what kind of baptism is that? Is that a little sprinkle? Is that a little pour? No. It is a lake of fire. Just like water baptism in a big body, in the whole spirit. I mean, baptism is to show all of this. That's the drama that is to be presented when we do a baptism. Because the sign should point to the substance ultimately of Christ either baptizing you with His Spirit and salvation. And if you will not have that baptism, there is a baptism that awaits, and that is a baptism in the lake of fire. But anyway, that's a few thoughts on the symbolism of baptism. Any comments on that part? Or any of the part?
That is an excellent connection that I had not made before.
Well, that's, like I said, that's part of, what we're trying to convey. In fact, even the last church I was at, we had a portable baptistry, and I loved it because it looked like a coffin. It did. We rolled it for, and it just, we filled it up with water, and you put the person, and it did. It just looked like a coffin, and you'd put the person, and I thought it was a great picture because it pictured death. It looked like they were died and then resurrected. But it was also a picture, hey, death is coming to all of us, right? Amen. And judgment, and if you don't have Christ's baptism of the Spirit and His salvation, you're going to an eternal death. The second death. The baptism by fire. I mean, just like the Old Testament flood and the waters that covered the earth, that's a picture of baptism. And then what's the baptism that's yet to come, that the earth, for the earth is promised? What kind of baptism is the earth going to have?
Fire.
Fire. He's going to baptize this. This whole universe is reserved for fire. There is a baptism of fire that is yet to come. And all of our little water baptism, it shows this death. That, hey, if you're not identified with Christ and His death, then you are going to enter into an eternal death in the lake of fire. That part of the gospel is to be presented in baptism. So like I said, just those few thoughts on the symbolism in baptism. We still got a couple of minutes, so.
Charlotte said that's the ultimate global warming.
I heard one preacher say or write, he says, that's going to be a bad day on Earth Day. Those that are, it's Earth Day, when that, oh man.
And yet, how fitting to worship the earth, to watch it burn in front of them. Mm-hmm.
But there is a baptism coming. There is a baptism coming, and Christ will be the baptizer. He's the one coming in judgment, and He will baptize everybody. Thank Him that we have the baptism of the Spirit. That's a much better baptism. Well, why don't we close in prayer, and then we can end our day. Father, we thank You for this day, our time that we can come and think about how we're to conduct ourselves as when we meet together as Your church. And Lord, I do pray that You would work in us by Your Spirit, that we would be faithful to Your Word, Your Word that goes out, we would have a clear message in what is spoken and what is sung. And Lord, even in the dramatic presentation of baptism and the Lord's Supper, that when people see it, that we would get the gospel from what is pictured. And we thank You for loving us, for saving us, and for baptizing us. In Christ's name, amen.